You're listening to New Hampshire Now, presented by the New Hampshire College and University Council, and also by New Futures.
This is New Hampshire Now, 1914-15 NHTalkRadio.com. I am Chris Ron. Appreciate you joining us for the program. This hour of New Hampshire Now is brought to you by the Prescription Center, as well as New England College. And this segment of the show brought to you by the Birches at Concord, New Hampshire's first assistive living community designed specifically for individuals with dementia, Alzheimer's, or other forms of memory impairment. Join a tour and celebrate life with the Birches. Phone number 224-9111. It is time for our weekly conversation with our friend from AARP New Hampshire. He is Todd Fahey, the state director, and he has a special guest here with us on the program today, Roger Desrochier, who is a grandparent, first and foremost, and also individual who has been active in state government for a long period of time. We're going to talk about grandparents today here on the program and some new data in regards to what grandparents are doing and some busting of stereotypes in regards to this information as well. As we welcome in Todd and also Roger. Gentlemen, how are you?
Good morning, Chris.
Hey, good morning, Chris.
Good. Appreciate you joining us for the show. Todd, talk a little bit about the work that AARP does with grandparents and also, the kind of altering of stereotypes in regards to grandparents, because we're seeing a workforce that is getting older and older, but that also means that individuals are very much flourishing into their 70s and even 80s in workforce environments.
Yeah, absolutely. As as I've said often on the show and would say again today, that 65 is the wrong number. We tend to always talk about 65 as the number where people stop working and lots of things change. And that isn't always the case. And sometimes it is the case. But our research that just came out recently was pretty compelling. It talks about some of the debunking of stereotypes and myths about grandparents regarding attitudes, employment, finances, and lifestyles, like, who these groups of people are that the beloved group we call our grandparents, what they do for those of us who are fortunate enough to have them, or, have children who have grandparents. And just lots of discussions about what they're thinking and what they're doing for their grandkids.
I think you just look at the presidential field and you'll see individuals going well into their 70s and looking to achieve the highest office of the nation. Bernie Sanders and Joe Biden, both on Inauguration Day, if they're inaugurated, will be in their late 70s. And of course, President Trump is 72 years of age. And Roger, do you feel that there has been a shift in attitudes in regards to aging, and that there's more individuals who are working later into life and perhaps not entirely in full-time jobs, but certainly are very active and wanting to be a part of, if they're not in the workforce, in a part of the community?
Well, I've certainly, in my experience and contacts with other grandparents, have found that such a diverse group of activities going on, from part-time to full-time working pursuing hobbies and being able to spend the time and things they really enjoy and look forward to doing. In addition, they've contributed on a voluntary basis to numerous organizations and are really part of the community. They look for a vital and active lifestyle after they retire, and they find opportunities here in Concord and elsewhere.
I think that this has also been kind of a need that's been addressed by individuals who are retired, because, in the past, there'd be more community involvement from individuals who were my age, but now people working one or two jobs, and grandparents are stepping up, not just in terms of volunteerism, but also at home to help out with shuffling kids from practice to practice and such. So I think that the role of grandparent has changed, remarkably, because there's more opportunities as well for individuals to be involved and to find volunteer opportunities within the community.
No question about it. In my own case, we've been able to help our daughter and son-in-law with child care and with supporting the grandchildren and their ambitions and their interests, in my case, music. They certainly enjoy music, and they're learning to become young musicians. So it's a great opportunity for us to be able to share with them some of our life experiences, mm-hmm. and then to go on and give them some opportunities as well.
The other aspect is in terms of supporting in a financial way as well, because a lot of the wealth has kind of been stuck at that level and has not necessarily moved to millennials and to individuals who are, you know, in that Generation X type of category where wages have remained stagnant for a long period of time. And, you know, there's always, obviously, in families, that aspect of handing down wealth for a period of time. But have you sensed that there's been a shift in, you know, there's always the, you know, the inheritance side of things. But have you noticed there's been a shift in grandparents' philosophies about, you know, spending and about support?
Well, no question about that. Through my work on the Commission of Grand Families, I've met grandparents who've gone through a lot and can tell me, you know, what their experiences have been. They've been more than willing to share, you know, whatever wealth they might have, and many don't have that wealth, mm-hmm. but they certainly are sharing their time and their commitment to their grandchildren. Unfortunately, because of the opioid issues mm-hmm. and other issues, failed marriages or deaths of spouses and so on, there have been, out of necessity, grandparents who have devoted a great part of their time when they could be relaxing and enjoying just being a doting grandparent. And as a result, what you see is grandparents taking that extraordinary step of becoming parents themselves
yep.
when it's necessary. And so the commission has been looking into this here in New Hampshire and has identified a number of situations where grandparents have stepped in. And oftentimes the situation is where there's no warning or there's very little preparation because someone will call from the police or from the Division of Children, Youth, and Families and say, we need a home for this child tonight. And are you willing to do this?
Mm-hmm.
So they're somewhat prepared because they know there have been problems with their adult children. But on the other hand, it can be thrust upon them very quickly and with profound changes.
Yeah, Todd, there's obviously a lot going on here in regards to the roles that that grandparents are having to take on within our community. And you know, you referenced a number of the things there, the higher rate of divorce than there has been in the past, the stagnant wages and economic conditions, which lead single parents to have to work multiple hours. With divorce and custody battles comes additional financial strain. So there has been a lot that's been asked of you know, your generation that was perhaps not asked before, but because of the advance in medicine and the advance in, I think, a lot of philosophies as well in terms of wellness and taking care of your body, the exercise and the diet, your generation is kind of up to the task because of that as well.
For sure. The boomer generation, which I'm part of, has looked at life quite differently because of our experiences and our ability to learn from our own parents, not only how to make do, but also to try to prepare for the future. In doing so, what that preparation looked like was building on the strengths of our parents. And as you indicated, Chris, the advances in medical care that make it possible to live a physical and emotional and healthy lifestyle, because we know more today, and we know how to deal with chronic issues much better than we used to, that used to plague elderly people. So the look that we have from our generation is, you know, where is it that we can continue to be strong? Where is it that we can continue to participate in community? Where is it that our spiritual life can be enhanced? Where is it that we can still be a productive part of today's society?
That's Roger DeRosio joining us here on the New Hampshire Now program. This hour, the program is presented by the Prescription Center as well as New England College. In this segment of the show, brought to you by the Birches at Concord. Todd Fahey with us as well from ARP New Hampshire. And we're going to go into the data now a little bit on what grandparents are doing today. And
we love the data.
Let's go into the data.
Well, we have a national survey that came out. Of course, AARP is an organization. It's a membership organization focused on helping people over 50 lead their best lives. So many over 50 are grandparents. In fact, the number of grandparents has grown per our national study, 24% from 56 million in 2001 to 70 million. Interestingly, they spend about $2,562 annually on their grandchildren. And if you put that out over the whole nation, it's about $179 billion per year with a B, which is a pretty big number. And more interestingly, to get back into the data, is that 79% of grandparents, that's 8 in 10, they do not consider themselves a financial supporter. They just don't. I wonder if it's because of the boomer generation and sometimes maybe the selflessness of a generation. By contrast, 94% of them do provide some financial support. So there's a little bit, maybe it's just an altruistic sense
right.
that they don't see themselves.
They see themselves helping as opposed to supporting.
Exactly. Right, there's a whole different perception. So we can cut that data a different kind
of
way.
And I think that that's a fair statement as well, because support to me is when you are providing kind of a something for like when you have the folks on the trapeze and there's the there's the netting underneath, like that's support. Help is like, oh yeah, I'll give them a couple bucks here and there, like that's help. And I think that's kind of the way that the grandparents look at things a lot of the time too.
Yeah, and we have some numbers, and all this information is available at AARP.org. You can just type in AARP grandparenting. It's for those grandparents or potential grandparents listening in the morning or in the afternoon. It's important to have a look at some of this data. How they spend, 86% of them spend yearly on gifts, of course. Grandparents like to buy gifts, I suppose. That's true.
Absolutely.
Roger. $805 a year. They also spend on vacations to give people, I suspect, not only the grandchildren, but maybe those the children of the parents of those grandchildren, money for vacations. They're all very focused on education. 95% of them agree or strongly agree that there is an importance of the grandchildren getting a higher education. So it's no surprise that given that belief that they invest in what they believe in. And so, but the flip side is this, and it's something maybe Roger can talk about because of the burgeoning number of grand families in New Hampshire because of the opioid crisis, among others. It does cause a strain on people, and I'm not really sure if mm-hmm. I can talk about that from a national mm-hmm. perspective. I'd love to hear Roger's view on it.
Well, I've been on a commission for grand families, and it is going to be reauthorized this session. At least that's full expectation. And through that commission, there's an estimate of 12,000 grand families here in New Hampshire alone that are working with their adult children and their grandchildren to provide everything from daily care to supports, as Chris was alluding to earlier, that meet some of the basic necessities of their grandchildren. In the information that we were able to gather, it looks like child care is a big need for grandparents because grandparents are still working full-time mm-hmm. or part-time, and they're dependent in many cases on that income for their own needs to be met, never mind the needs of grandchildren. In some cases, grandparents have had to move in order to have adequate space for their grandchildren. In other situations, they've sacrificed their own medical needs in order to meet the needs of the grandchildren. Many of the grandparents are more than willing to do this. They love their children, but more importantly, the need right now is their grandchildren. So they're stepping in and stepping up to do what is needed. In addition to that, they've had to learn a lot. As grandparents, they haven't been in the parental responsibility mode for very
right.
long years.
Yeah.
So you can imagine after a generation goes by to now deal with the education system, the medical system for children, and all the other things that kids need.
Travel sports teams.
Right. Well, yes. One thing, and the travel sports teams can be very expensive and time-consuming. One thing I thought was interesting as well from the findings was that 87% would accept an LGBTQ grandchild. So I think that speaks to what you're referring to as well. There's also changing societal attitudes. And Peter Evers, who does I'm listening here on KXL with Riverbend, which is going to air in the third hour of the program here today, our conversation with Annie Custer, but he referenced, you know, some of the changes that have occurred, you know, in regards to mental health and the, you know, the changing attitudes in regards to the LGBTQ community, and that, you know, for him, and he's in his late 50s, his dad would never have accepted him being announcing to the family that he was gay. And he's like, that attitude has completely changed. And this data, and obviously, you know, people say certain things in regards to polling, but the number at 87% reflects, in my view, a dramatic shift in the mindset of folks, and that grandparents are adapting to, and because there's this feeling that, oh, when people have certain mindsets, they don't shift. But I think that indicates that there has been a significant shift.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's certainly the case, and there's all types of changes that the report talks about besides the LGBT issue. The other one is that 34% have children of mixed or different race or ethnicity. Mm-hmm. That's something that's changed over the years as well. And 89% say the relationships with their grandchildren is good for their mental well-being. I mean, I think you have to wrap all of this in with the whole idea that grandparents seem to be a fairly selfless cohort in America, and they're really, really important, and they are what we envision a grandparent to be, just a loving source of mental and spiritual and financial support. So it's not particularly surprising that things have changed over the years.
And the stereotype about the baby boomer generation is the opposite a lot of the times, that the baby boomers were, you know, kind of a reckless bunch, so to speak. And obviously these generalities
financially are reckless.
Yeah. And that these generalities kind of, you know, I think don't necessarily line up a lot of the time. But we see, you know, really, and you think about our communities today, and particularly in regards to the opioid crisis, you know, baby boomers and beyond have taken on a very selfless role within our community.
I would add to that the baby boomers, you know, also were the one of the generations that revolted against an administration regarding the Vietnam War. Mm-hmm. And they were also the generation that were willing to try a lot of different things, sometimes not always the best things, but certainly they were explorers and challengers and people who were looking for the next adventure. And I think that's carried over into the retirement years. And with the grandchildren, it's a situation where, you know, they're part of the family. And how can you deny family when there's a need?
I mean, you also had parents, as you were referencing before, that were born out of the Great Depression. And there was that cautiousness that existed with them. So it's kind of a revolt against the attitudes. But still, there is that, you know, frugality and that you know, cautiousness that exists and kind of gets passed along as well from that generation that had to sacrifice so much in regards to service and also had to live through the Great Depression and that time period of great financial restraint.
Yeah, I mean, there are certainly stresses on the boomers. I mean, it would not be fair to leave the show giving people the sensation, while boomers are a particularly powerful economic cohort, they are powerful by virtue of their numbers. But individually, they're not particularly well situated for retirement. And I mean no disrespect when I say that, Roger. But you know, the youngest grandparent's about 38 years old, with 50 being the average
say
age. Youngest grandparents about 38 years old. See, so I mean, this is going to be a great show for you, Chris, for many reasons.
And
thankfully,
I haven't hit that age yet, because then.
But they don't make a lot of money. I mean, grandparents at this point, it's not as if so the median income for grandparent caregivers is $51,000 a year, and that's not a bad sum of money. But if you're having to care for yourself and you have medical expenses and you have a spouse who's well or not well, or you have grandchildren who are looking, you know, at an average of like almost $3,000 of that money, it goes quickly.
Very quickly. There are grandparents, certainly through the commission that I was on, that clearly had to take advantage of assistance through the various state government programs and continue to do so. And more than willing to share what they have with their grandchildren, but they need the assistance themselves. One of the biggest needs is around childcare for them to continue to work, because work is not an option for them. It's something that they need to do in order to sustain themselves as well as to have for their grandchildren.
So now the grandparents need childcare.
Yes, well, for their grandchildren.
Yeah, particularly for, you know, when you think of grandparents generally, there's that 65 plus, but as you referenced, that's not necessarily the case. There's individuals, a lot of individuals in their 50s who are grandparents. I say that's the average age for a person to become a grandparent for the first time is probably somewhere between 50 and 55.
And somewhere in America, there's some radio hosts who are grandparents.
and this is not one of them. Gentlemen, as always, appreciate you joining us for the program.
It's always a pleasure, Chris.
Roger, great to see you. And Todd, we'll see you again next Thursday. This is New Hampshire Now, 1-9-1450 and nhtalkradio.com. I am Chris Ryan. This hour of the program is presented by ARP New Hampshire, as well as New England College and the Prescription Center. And that segment of the show brought to you by the Birches of Concord.
You're listening to New Hampshire Now, presented by the New Hampshire College and University Council, and also by New Futures.